Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for what you have done for your people and for our living hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. By your word and your Holy Spirit, please help us this morning to grasp more and more what this means for us. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the story of your life? What is your story? When you meet somebody new and they ask you, what is your story? What do you tell them? There's lots of ways you might answer. You might talk about your family. You might talk about your occupation. You might talk about where you live. You might talk about your football team. You might talk about your achievements or what you hope to do in the future. Or maybe you might talk about your failures and your mistakes and your disappointments. Your story is very important. Your story explains how you see the world. Your story gives you purpose. It's the reason that you get up in the morning. And your story tells you who you are. Your story is your identity. In our passage from 1 Peter today, Peter is continuing to encourage the Christians that he's writing to with the living hope they have in Jesus Christ. And at the start of chapter 2, he's doing that by reminding these Christians that through Jesus, God has changed their story. And thus with a new story, they've now been given a new and glorious identity. The spiritual story of the world outside of Jesus is not a very good one. I'll give you the short version. Human beings rebelled against God. We were corrupted by our sin, and the world has been a dark place ever since. And acknowledged or not, that is the background to every man and every woman's story. In our passage, Peter says that we Gentiles, who didn't even have the old covenant mercies of God, were in darkness. And he says that we were living without the mercy of God. And we see that in the world. A sober assessment of the world as it actually is should convince you of this reality. You know, divorce, war, depression, abuse, murder, sickness, corruption, terrorism, rorts, adultery, greed, death. You know, these things are the bread and butter of our news feeds, and more and more they're the subject of our entertainment. But the living hope of Christianity is that we Christians have been redeemed out of this fallen world's darkness by faith in Jesus Christ. As Peter says, we Christians, we now come to him, that is God, through Jesus, and that we are a chosen people. And he says in our passage that we have been called out of darkness. However, in following God's call out of this fallen world's darkness, it's like we Christians have also been dislocated from the world's story. And we've lost something of our old identity. As Peter says in verse 4, like Jesus, we too have been chosen by God, but rejected by men. And in verse 12, we Christians have become aliens and strangers in the world. And like we looked a few weeks back in chapter 1, accordingly, as strangers in the world, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Obeying God's invitation to come out of the darkness costs us something. It costs us our place in the world. And thus, your life in this world might actually be harder as a Christian than it would have been as a non-Christian. Because you're turning your back on the world and you're starting to swim against the tide of the world's darkness. And in doing so, you open yourself up, first of all, to effort, but also to rejection and mocking and suffering and maybe even persecution. When responding to Christ and his call, it's a bit like being in a foreign country and losing your passport. And all of a sudden you find yourself with no travel insurance and no consular assistance and things are looking a bit wobbly. Or maybe it's like living in Australia, but having one day your citizenship cancelled by the government. And all of a sudden you've become stateless and you've lost your right to work and you've lost your right to vote and you've lost your bank accounts and you've lost your right to own property and you no longer have healthcare or Centrelink pensions. And it's like you used to belong here in Australia, but your citizenship's gone and you're no longer at home here. Spiritually speaking, when we respond to the call of Jesus, our citizenship and passport in this world have been cancelled. And we lose something of our place and we lose something of our story. And this is a very real challenge for many of our Christian brothers and sisters in some places around the world. There's an article in the current edition of Eternity, the newspaper, which you can pick up in the foyer. And it's about Iraqi Christians from Mosul. I don't know if you've read it. These Iraqi Christians, they might be able to go home to Mosul very soon, now that the Iraqi army and government is restoring order over that city. But what the article is about is that many of them don't want to, because they're afraid, and they don't trust their own city and their neighbors in that city that was once their home, because the city, when ISIS rolled in a few years ago, they helped ISIS persecute them, and they helped ISIS take away their property, and they did all this simply because they were Christians. But even here in Melbourne, where it must be said, usually we Christians face very, very minor suffering, there are nonetheless still days when your life would be easier without Christ in your story. I can still remember the times when I was mocked at school and at work by my colleagues and from some of my friends for being Christian. And maybe some of you know what that's like too. Being a Christian, for many of us, can cause tensions and problems in our family. And then there is the commitment, you know, of your time and your money and socially and effort and, you know, your commitment to the church and to your own spiritual development. And really, if we take the demands of the New Testament seriously, that commitment is total. Being a Christian is far from costless. It's not easy. So is becoming a Christian a case of moving from the bad situation of the world's darkness, which everyone has to put up with, to the even worse situation of even more suffering, plus the usual darkness, with even more suffering for being a Christian? That's what it looked like for Peter and his audience. That was the world he was writing into. His audience was suffering for their faith. And so is becoming a Christian a case of, you know, out of the frying pan and into the fire? Well, the answer, of course, is yes. It is. It is, that is, if you hold on to your old story. If your hope and your identity, if your story is in this world, then you have nothing to gain and everything to lose from becoming a Christian. Or for that matter, for staying a Christian. But what about if your hopes and your identity are not in this world? What about if you have a new story? That is why, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter wrote this letter to his fellow Christians. And that is why, inspired by the Holy Spirit, they preserved Peter's letter for us. To remind us that through Jesus Christ, we as God's people, the church, we have a new story. In chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, Peter declares, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Peter is taking the Gentile Christians that he's writing to, and us also, and he's applying to them and to us the great Old Testament image of God's blessing and the great image of his fellowship and his favor towards his people, Israel. And that image is the temple worship on Mount Zion, where God once dwelled in his glorious temple, and he allowed his people to draw near to him and near to his glory. And thus Peter is saying that Jesus is making us, the church, into the new temple of God, where Jesus himself will be the cornerstone on which this new temple rests. But this new temple, it's not going to be just another building where God can meet with his people. Rather, we the church, and not the church building, but us, the people, are being built into the actual dwelling place of God. God lives with us, and God lives within us. And this is our new story. This is our new identity. That as we come to Jesus, the great living cornerstone, we the church are being remade into a new temple of living stones. Imagine that. You Christians, and the Christians sitting next to you on the pews, and God's people across the world and throughout history, are living stones becoming the actual dwelling place of God. It's like God has surveyed this fallen world, and in the ruins of its sinful darkness, he's remembered you and he's seen you, and by his grace and his mercy, he's carefully chosen you and called you back to him through Jesus Christ, and in Jesus cleans you of your sin and made you fit to stand in his presence and his holiness. And like a stone for some beautiful cathedral, he's picked you up and he's carefully fashioned and shaped you and sanctified you, making you ready to serve him. And then he's positioned you exactly in a place prepared with you in mind to be part of his living and eternal temple, where together with all of his other living stones and with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone, God will dwell with you in the fullness of his glory, with you and within you forever. Through Jesus, my friends, that is now your story. And God's new story gives you a new perspective on your life. Because our hope is not in this world, in the here and now, but our hope is in that living temple that we are together being fashioned into, stone by stone by stone. This new story of ours reinterprets the way we see ourselves and understand our lives, so that the cost of suffering for being a Christian now and the daily effort of Christian discipleship is all worth it, and then some. I was saying before that becoming a Christian is a little like losing your passport or having your citizenship revoked. Well, if that happens to you, it doesn't matter if you're following. It doesn't matter because like we're following Jesus to a far better home in a far better place in a far better country. Jesus is leading his people on a second exodus, taking us out of the darkness and the suffering of this fallen world and building us into a glorious eternal temple where we will live in his eternal light. Therefore, let go of your old story. Maybe by the world standards you have a good story. One of success and achievement and hard work and friends and family. Well, the things of this world do not last, and they pale in comparison to the glory that is given to you in God's living temple. Maybe you have a painful story, of suffering or broken relationships or stuff-ups or difficult circumstances. Well, your hope is not here in this world, but your hope is in that living temple that you are being built into. Either way, if you have a good story or a bad story, exchange your old story in this world for the glorious new story of God's people. Let this new story be the foundation of your identity and your hopes. And let it put into perspective how you see both the good things and the bad things of this present world. But also, God's new story also gives you a new purpose. Listen to this. Verses 9 and 10, Peter writes, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The privilege that Jesus Christ gives you is breathtaking. All Christians are being redeemed from this world to form a royal priesthood for God. Not just ordained people like me, but you also. All of us, through Jesus, have become a royal priesthood that belongs to God. And as the royal priesthood of living stones, our purpose is to worship God. God has called us into this royal priesthood so that you may declare the praises of him. There is no higher honor than this. Nothing in this world can afford even a small part of this privilege and this honor and this glory. Together, we the church are both the temple of God, resting on Christ, the cornerstone, and together we the church are the priest of God who offers praise in the temple under Christ, the great high priest. So your new purpose is to worship him in the fullness of his glory in that new temple, which is marvelous. It's marvelous, yes, but maybe it's all just pie in the sky when you die. Well, no, that's not the case. God's new story, it doesn't just give us a brilliant future hope. It also gives us a living hope that changes our purpose now, even today. Your new story as God's people has already started. Therefore, praise him, you living stones. Praise God in your lives and how you live them now. Peter writes in verses 11 and 12, he says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Live such good lives so that the world may see in you a glimpse of that living temple and a glimpse of the praise and the worship that is happening now and will happen forever in that living temple. Tomorrow morning, it's Monday, but when you get into the car or step into the train, you go to your workplace or school or to the supermarket or whatever it is that you're going to do, remember that you are part of God's royal priesthood and one of the living stones in his everlasting temple. Live like your entire purpose is to declare the praises of God who loves you and who saved you. Worship God in all aspects of your life, in how you speak and treat to other people, in how you give of your time and your money, in how you vote, in how you shop, in how you exercise self-control and in how you conduct yourself, in your daily prayer and your meditation on God's word, the Bible, and in your coming together with the rest of God's people in the church. Worship God in your everyday story. Make the worship of God your story. It will be good practice for eternity, but also now it will show the world around you a small part of the glory and the goodness of God, so that perhaps the world around you, perhaps they too will respond to his call out of the world and into the marvelous light of God's people, so that they too will be found glorifying God on the day Christ returns. Through Jesus, God is changing our story, calling us out of the world and building us into a new temple of living stones so that we may worship him. So exchange your old story for the new story and live a life of worship starting now, so that the world may see in you a glimpse of the glory of God's living temple. Amen.